Hello, and good day, good morning, good evening, everyone. It's another episode of Magic the First Pioneers podcast. This is a podcast all about the Pioneer MTG format, and we're here to be your go-to source for Pioneer information online. So, I'm joined by my co-host, as well as a special guest. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Did you introduce yourself yet? I didn't hear your name.
You know what? I sometimes give my name, otherwise I'm just a mystery. Yes. I'm Kevin Finkel, guys. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, and I'm tired. Because it's the morning over here in Japan. My name is Ryan Schwenk. I am the Japan hobbyist. And our guest is...
Ari 13, Martin Porter, your regular go-to Pioneer grinder with the ear to the ground with everything to do with Pioneer.
Yep, you guys know what it means when we got Martin on here. So basically this is our... he's like our weatherman. Yeah. You know, we go and... We're the two hosts over here just sitting at the desk reading what's out of it on the teleprompter, but when we want to go to the person that really knows the weather of Pioneer, what's going on the day-to-day, that's when we shoot it over to someone like Martin Porter here.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining us once again. We always appreciate the insight that you can bring to the show. And for anyone listening, you guys know what that means. It means that we're going into the competitive side of Pioneer and taking a look at what's really going on. So that was the big topic we want to talk about. You know, we haven't been keeping everyone up to date on the latest news in Pioneer, and that is what's been going on at the big tournament. So we've had a few things firing online, we've had a few things firing over in Japan, and we've also had the MOCS Championship that went ahead and had a Pioneer section of it. So we really care what those pros are playing. And so from the last month, we've really got a lot of results that we just kind of want to take a minute and go over. But yeah, first, just want to see how you guys are. You know, like you were saying, we're kind of an international podcast here. We got Japan, we've got the U.S., and you're joining us from Scotland.
Yep.
So I know it's all different time zones here. That's why I make sure to give a good morning, good night at the beginning. And so we're just, you know, all collecting together, grabbing a drink, and we're gonna see what we're going through today.
I was gonna say I was talking to Martin the other day about. You know, him always coming on, you know, to the show for this type of segment. So we're going to give him his own show name. This is going to be called Meta with Martin.
Ooh, okay.
Yes, yeah, I love it. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
You know, we just need a theme song now. So you could do like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood or something like that. Yeah.
I mean, perfectly good point out to part out. If you guys enjoy the little bit of music at the very beginning and end, that's coming from the band Dreadnought, who we are using it with their permission. Used to have was he the bassist?
I believe so, yeah.
Sky Burial. Used to be a part of our podcast back a couple of years ago, a guy named Sky Burial. Yeah. So great guy. If you ever are interested, just go ahead and check that out.
Yes.
We want to just jump into some results. I mean, I can continue. You know, usually we get a couple of minutes here at the beginning that we can be off topic, but other than that, we tend to stay on track.
Up to you guys. I mean, is there any other big news that's happening in your part of the world right now?
Just, I'm from America, so don't ask me.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing much over in Scotland other than my city's gone into tier 4 lockdown to save Christmas, pretty much. So, I mean, it's just another excuse to spend more time indoors and play Magic, you know.
Yeah.
Not the worst situation to be in, but yeah, I mean, hopefully these vaccines get produced sooner rather than later. Some promising news down the pipeline with that. So.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, they got two companies that have the vaccines, you know, going into production right now, and they're going to start shipping them out in December. And I heard a lot of the general population will start getting them in, like, April next year sometime. It's a possibility we could be back to playing Paper Magic maybe at the end of summer next year. What do you guys think?
Yeah,
definitely miss it.
Yeah.
I was reminiscing how much I missed my LGS. You know, I was playing, I was drafting a bunch online on Modo, and I was like, man, you know, my payout at my local game store is better than this, and I'm that's real cards.
Yeah, I miss it.
I remember like the last Magic Fest or GP I went to was in Brussels in Belgium, and hung out with a lot of the Polish Magic scene, who I'm quite friendly with, like notable names, Canister, and a guy called Jendrik, who's like quite a well-known modern streamer, and a bunch of other cool guys. And we just had, it's the gathering, right? It's, you know, you go there for the magic, you stay for the gathering, and it means, I definitely relate to that, because we had some really fun times, like the weekend I was there, and you know, I really want to go back to like mythic Mythic Magic Fest are like probably one of my like favorite weekends on the calendar. Like I probably I can't I mean at one point I was going like 5 times a year. I'm probably going to be like maybe once or twice, but like every time I go now, it's not even, I want to do well in the tournament, but it's, the main thing is like seeing all my friends from all across Europe and sometimes America too, if I ever go there. And yeah, I never thought I'd miss it as much as I do because I do predominantly play Magic Online, but definitely miss the paper aspect. I miss the local tournaments as well. So yeah, just really, hopefully, I think the end of summer is probably a reasonable timeline to
Be
this.
able to do paper events again.
Just general life stuff, like my girlfriend's from America and I haven't seen her in person in like a year, like nearly a year, like since the last time I saw her. And it's, yeah, it's like we've done really well, like considering, but like, yeah, just I'm really looking forward to seeing her most of all. So shout out to Jenny, who is almost certainly not listening to this podcast, but I'll put a shout out for her on it anyway. But yeah,
Shout it
so
from
that's
the
pretty much
hilltops. Shout it from the Pioneer
it.
Podcast.
Right. But yeah, let's should we crack on with these results? These ones?
That sounds perfect. You sounded like you wanted to go a little bit chronologically here, Ryan. So
Yeah,
starting
so
back with
let's just
kind of
kind
early
of
November.
let's start with what events were happening. I'll go in order of kind of like what we're going to talk about today. There was a Pioneer Champs events, I believe, on November 1st on MTGO,
Yeah,
I
it was
believe.
the super qualifier.
Yeah, and that was like
The
200 something people, I believe, 214.
yeah. Yeah,
I want to say that one was, maybe 200, 196.
Yeah, and then after
Yeah.
that, chronologically speaking, after that, there was a Hallelujah qualifier for their end of the year championship, The Last Sun. And that was, I believe, on November 3rd, and they had about 70 players. So I think that's kind of relevant, kind of seeing what the paper metagame is like over here in Japan. And then after that, I believe we have the King of Pioneer tournament in Japan and Tokyo. That was last weekend. It had 121 players. And then there was another Pioneer Champs event, another qualifier, and that one was on the 15th, I believe, kind of the same
Oh, here
time.
we go. That one was the one with 196 on the 14th. The other one was 214.
Oh,
You're right there.
yeah. So that was like also last weekend, the same time. And then we had the MOX, which I thought we'd finish up with at the Magic Online Championship Series. Is that correct? Is that the S
Yeah.
means? Yeah. And
Yeah, that's
so
good.
I don't know how many people are in there, but that is big money. So people are playing good decks. I thought we could talk about those. So five events, lots of decks. Yeah, let's get started.
Sure. So yeah, the first event was the Pioneer Super Qualifier on the 1st of November. I am also participating in that event, and I went 5-1 into 5-4. I kind of crash and burned, but my losses were how I expected to lose games of Magic with the deck I played. So I'm totally okay with that. So we look at the top eight, and one thing that's really interesting with the top eight is we can see that there's three copies of Lurrus Burn, which is probably one of the it's been around since Lurrus came into to play even beforehand, but this is when it really started to show up again in numbers. We're no stranger to Lurrus Burn. It's been around at least since Ikoria. And it's just a really powerful strategy. It's super low to the ground, and Lurrus is just such a key component because it gives, like, with a lot of burn decks, you need a critical mass of spells because you obviously run out of gas. But Lurrus just gives you that extra card in hand, and it gives you an engine for when you start to run out of spells. And it's just super effective in this format. I mean, I always find it crazy of all the guild charms that they made. Boros Charm is like the only charm that has all 2 mana effects, whereas every other charm you're trading down mana for each effect to have the versatility. But Boros Charm just seems to have this like, is this is it's the most powerful, significantly more powerful than the other charms that were printed around the same time. So yeah, this deck's just super powerful, like just really powerful burn deck, and the sideboard as well is like really clean. It's just like Roiling Vortex was a massive upgrade to the deck. Like it basically keeps Uro in check, and I've been playing like Sultai Uro decks for a good few weeks now, and I've found that card to be miserable to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
So much so that I've had to change my entire strategy post board against the deck. I can no longer just like ride Uro to victory. I need to basically, like, if I'm playing Sultai Reclamation, which is what I've been playing a lot, I need to basically like turn the corner fast, like create a big shark and try and race them, because hard is, unless you can effectively abrupticate all of them, like, but they play four, so it's really difficult to like have answers to each one, and it just takes over the game if you don't answer it, or you need to have like a bigger threat on board and try and race them, which is really hard. So yeah, that was one of the big things about that weekend. Also, interestingly, it was the revival of Mono Green Devotion. So Aspiring Spike, must be nice for him, because he was like, oh, I hadn't played Pioneer in a while, and I decided to just rock up with this deck, and oh, oops, I won it. I took the whole tournament down. And the second place player was Cedric Phillips, who
Oh,
also
yeah.
doesn't play. He played one league with the deck, and he was like, this is great, I'm going to rock up with it. But if you look at the top three players, like, it showed you that the format is healthy, but like the better players can still rise to the top, because like you've got Aspiring Spike in first place, Cedric Phillips in second place, and Jabberwocky in third place. So those are kind of like big time names in the game. So yeah, it was really cool, and yeah, three burn decks in the top eight, that shows you how
Yeah,
powerful.
so yeah, so while you're on that, I want to point out, like, that's I think the biggest thing I was looking forward to asking you about is about Burn. And I think that you kind of started out well saying that this is really a bit of the resurgence of where Burn came very hard back into the meta, and to the point where we've been saying, I think when we went on a couple weeks ago, we said that it was probably one of the top decks, like the most popular deck in the format right now. But I want to make sure that's holding true, and I want to see if that's been what you've been seeing, on the ground is what we've been putting it. If you've been seeing a lot of Burn in your leagues, because I don't play as much as I should. I play some online, and I've been watching a lot of streamers. I feel like I don't see Burn as often as it's represented in these top eight lists. So I'm wondering if it's one of those things where it's not a huge portion of the meta, but it's a huge portion of the top eight. So I'm wondering if you're seeing anything similar of that, or if that's kind of just been, my little slice of the vision.
So there's a lot of things that go into it, right? Especially Magic Online. And so basically leagues, I take leagues with a pinch of salt. A lot of leagues aren't really a good representation of the format as a whole. People just play whatever they want to play, and sometimes it can be super unpredictable in a small sample size. I think the bias that goes into playing Burn, especially if Burn is a good deck in the format, is a lot of people like to double queue events at the weekend. Like a lot of grinders will try and maximize their chances of coming home with a good return on their time investment. So a lot of people will multi-queue, and I think a lot of players don't put too much stock into Pioneer, so they'll just play it as like a challenge. But they'll if you're playing Pioneer challenges, a lot of them will just play in double queue and play decks like Burn, so they can finish games fast, so they have more time to like focus on other matches. And the fact that Burn had been doing well in prelims and stuff as well, like people were thinking, oh, it's like, people would play Burn even if it was like tier 1.5 or tier 2 maybe. But the fact that Burn is actually tier 1 and probably one of the top decks of the format, it's you're just going to, in challenges and big events, you're going to get so many people playing that deck. I've seen it. It's probably, of course, naturally, like from this event, this was when Burn was like showing up in big numbers. It's gone down in popularity slightly, because a lot of players have been trying to fight it. And Amit, who was on the stream last week, I believe, the podcast last week, he basically got to the finals of the challenge like last the weekend before last, with vampires as a way to combat Burn. And I think people have been playing Orshov Auras again in greater numbers, and people have been. I know Claudio was playing War Leaders Helix in the sideboard to try and fight Burn as well. So I think people were prepared for it, and I think naturally the success of the deck will diminish slightly. But I mean, you'll see how the trends are when we look into the events following this, to see how effective that was. No, I definitely think Burn is, if not the best deck, top three now, at least. It's done super well
Okay.
since Zendikar's came out.
So, would you say the kind of like Burn has become the deck that keeps people honest in Pioneer?
I think Burn and Mono Green Devotion have, because they both punish you hard if you don't have early interaction. And I noticed it when I was playing Sultai Reclamation. Like, I decided to play 4/1 mana removal spells, like 2 Fatal Push and 2 Blood Chief Thirst. And basically, because the main reason of having multiple numbers of those 1 mana removal spells for me was to deal with like the turn one elf or like turn one like wizard or creature. But I wanted it two of them to be Blood Chief Thirst because I didn't want to have like 4 completely dead removal spells and
Against
mid-range
control,
control decks. Yeah, because I want to answer Teferi and I want to have answers to like Niv-Mizzet Reborn. Because you're playing like cards like Abrupt Decay and stuff that are like very good but quite situational. And if you're having to deal with a 5 mana a 5 mana creature, then it can be pretty, you have a bunch of dead cards. But I needed to have like answers to turn one must answer threats, arguably. So I think both Green Devotion and Burn prevent people from getting too greedy in the format, which you can argue is a good thing. It just doesn't surprise me, given with like what cards came out in Zendikar and also the unbanning of Oath of Nissa. We were surprised. I think last time I was on, we were talking about how Mono Green Devotion essentially didn't exist at this point, and it was quite surprising because the deck's obviously very powerful, and Aspiring Spike proved that.
Yeah, great to see
Do
it.
you guys want to move on to the next topic or the next
Yeah,
results
so
page?
real quick, just to kind of summarize what else was going on in this top eight. So, I think that those are the two big stories that we definitely wanted to touch on is three burn in this top eight of the 214 person tournament, that Green Devotion taking it down. And then the rest of the top eight, it was a lot of kind of those green, blue, black, X, mid-rangey decks. So, we kind of had a we had a Sultai, we had a Niv-Mizzet, we had a Reclamation, I believe it was Sultai. Let me double check that it was a Sultai
Yeah,
Reclamation.
Sultai Reclamation.
Yeah, okay, so it had Omnath, but it was pretty much Sultai.
Yeah.
And then an Omnath Landfall deck as well. So
Yeah, I mean, all these decks are basically testament to Uro. Like, all these decks, like you can look at each individual component, each individual shell, but the main engine in all these decks is essentially Uro. Uro's too good. It's too powerful a magic card for Magic, in my opinion. It's trumped only by Opal, and yeah, it's not surprising that the majority of the format have built shells around Uro. That's going to continue on until Uro eventually. I mean, I'd be very surprised if Uro lasts another year, even in Pioneer. Like, it's just, I feel like it's got its hand around the format's neck, where it's not like poking it yet, but it's slowly tightening its grip. And I'd be very surprised. I think it's only a matter of time before the card gets banned. It only takes like another like graveyard enabler card or two, like something like City of
Like a
Wayfarer,
thought erasure, not a thought erasure, a thought distort, sure,
Thought Scourer or something like that.
Thought
Or
Scour, that's what I'm looking for,
yeah, but like something like that, like some sort of cheap cantrip that fills up your graveyard. Like, it's just very close to it's I think Uro for me is on the edge of the format. Like, I don't think it's like too much of a problem just now, but I think it's really, it's just like on the edge of the cliff, just waiting to be fatal pushed off it into the ban, the abyss.
Now, I will take that with just a little bit of salt, because I feel like you said the same thing about Inverter. So yeah, I'm not on the train that Uro is too powerful and needs to be banned, but I feel like you were also on the side of saying like, oh, you know, Inverter is okay, it's just on the borderline, it's safe, but it shouldn't be banned. You're kind of giving me the same story on Uro here, so maybe these 6/6s all need to go.
But if we look back to like results with Inverter, like I'll still argue to this day that I didn't think Inverter, the cards they banned, I didn't think they banned them because they were too powerful for the format. I'm convinced they banned them because people just didn't enjoy those games of Magic. Like, I think a lot of Magic players don't like combo decks and don't like the format is too warped around combo, which it was. Like, yeah, people just choose to see that as not being fun. I definitely don't think, don't get me wrong, the Inverter deck was very good. But if you looked at the overall win percentages of the deck, it wasn't enough for it to be described as like by far the best deck. Yeah, it wasn't. It was like in the low 50s, if even 50%. It was like very low 50s, or if that, like, it was obviously, it's one of these things where like, if the top players choose to play the deck enough, then eventually they're going to get better win percentages than maybe the average person will with the deck. So yeah, that deck was...
I think it's tough. What I always kind of counter to that is that, you know, like, hey, what was Inverter's win percentage against Sultai Reclamation? We don't know because no one played Sultai Reclamation because it was that bad against Inverter. So, like, it's hard to... I mean, maybe that's not a good best example, but, like, it had gotten to the point where it was such a meta mainstay that the things that were bad against it were just out of the meta. So it was hard to see if it was still a high win rate because it had already scared things off. So, like, it's tough to fully view exactly how strong it was without getting to see the world without it.
Yeah, of course. And don't get me wrong, like I have some bias because I found success playing the deck and I really enjoyed the deck, but I totally understand why they decided to ban, you know, these kind of strategies. It just makes me sad because I think at that point Pioneer had a real identity. I feel like I've seen negative comments about Pioneer even still, and I think a lot of these players, they're, you know, they'll just say, oh, like the format's not fun, or they'll kind of gloss around the fact. I just think that people feel like Pioneer sometimes doesn't have its own specific identity. I don't really know what they're looking for, to be honest. I think...
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, non-interactive Magic doesn't feel like Magic to me. When you're just watching someone goldfish, you know, the whole game, that's very uninteresting and very kind of grating to me.
I think goldfish, non-interactive Magic for me is like Lotus Breach combo. I think Inverter was very interactive, but the issue was that I think people hated the interaction because you always felt like, oh, they could always just have it. And that's not the case.
You'd have a counter spell, or you'd have disruption or something. So it's, yeah, I have an answer, but okay, you got disruption. I mean, it was just too, it's too easy to protect. It was disruptible, but I still felt it was too easy to disrupt disruption.
There's plenty of interaction, but they got to do all the interaction, and then they still win the game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think,
my
like,
opinion.
I think I agree. And I think, like, I think the deck would be more interesting if they banned like Jace, and just kept like the pure combo in the deck. But like the issue was like you had like two. The issue with the deck is like you could, Oldsword, you could just play a really good like mid range control strategy where you could just like win with Jace on its own. And I think like if they banned like Jace and you were like more all in on the combo that, you know, post board, you could easily, it'd be a lot easier to interact with.
I think they could have been more targeted if they had done something like, yeah, maybe like Thassa's Oracle and Dig Through Time, something like that, or, you know, Jason Dig Through Time.
Yeah, I think so as well, but I think, you know, I think like, well, Wizards, I don't think they put too much thought into the ban list, and they thought, you know what, should we just like, we'll just ban the cards that people are hating on, you know, like in Walking Blister as well, just so that They didn't want any remnants of like combo left in the format, just to give it a fresh
And
start.
my Kethys as well.
Kethys as well, but I hated Kethys. It's just a
Oh,
personal. I hated that deck with a
I love
passion.
that. I mean, you guys have all heard me say it, but yeah, I was playing that deck long before they unbanned Oath, and they unbanned Oath, and I didn't even get to play it in paper. They had it for like a month. It was gone that quickly.
Yeah, my teammate Draft was in love with that deck as well, and he was so sad when it got banned as well. So,
Well,
yeah,
we
I
can.
mean.
I was gonna say we can save this ban topic for another.
Yeah, we are way off track here. Let's jump back to that. The first one we were talking about, the November 1st, 214 participants. Anything else from that top eight that you think really stands out that we need to talk about, or do we want to move on to the next event?
I think the only last one was it shows you how good Jabberwocky is with Sultai Delirium. I generally don't like the decks, of course the deck's fine, like, but I generally think that you have to be someone like him to get consistent success with the deck. The deck's really hard to play, especially in the current format. It's really hard to consistently do well against decks like Five Color Niv, who almost like prey upon those strategies. And yeah, I just shout out to Jabberwocky because he is the master of he's the master of like gun style strategies and Sultai Delirium. It just always amazes me to see him listening at the top of the tables with a deck that I would argue is one tier 1.5 and not tier 1. So fair play to him.
Okay, so moving on to here, where would we go
I
chronologically?
think
Is it that
the
Hallelujah?
qualifier.
Yeah, so this is a nice 70-person tournament that you had over by you. Anything big from there that we want to go over? Should I quick run down the top eight
Yeah, sure,
first?
go ahead.
So we had mono red two, so a mono red burn, red white burn, Woolen Lotus combo, two reclamation, a spirits, a Jesk, oh no, a sorry. An Esper control, and what is this last one here?
This is no data. They didn't have it. It's a private deck list, so we don't know. It's a mystery list.
So the top seven, yeah,
Yeah.
perfect. Top seven, 69 participants.
So yeah,
You got
real quick, you said with Luris was the top one, and it was just mono red that was actually the winner with Giganta and stuff like that. So slightly different take on the Boros deck that had been doing really well in MTGO.
Okay, so a mono red, yeah, they threw Giganta the Wellspring in as a sideboard just to give them, that eighth card.
And
And kind of like Martin was saying, the Lurrus is kind of an eighth and a ninth card because it usually comes with a freebie when it comes
yeah.
in, but an eighth card's not bad either.
And I was going to say that they have two Reclamation Controls on this list, but one is more of a mid-range with Omnath, and then the other one is just Uro's like the only creature, and then they're playing expansion and
Shark
Shark
Typhoon.
Typhoon. So slightly more control for one of those. So I wanted to ask Martin if any of these kind of stuck out. Does this seem kind of usual to you, or?
It's usual to me if you're Japanese Magic players because they always just win with absolute piles. No disrespect, the mono red deck, it doesn't surprise me that some new innovation has actually took the tournament down. I love the Giganta in the sideboard because like no one, if you're playing Giganta, you're probably thinking, why are you playing Giganta in the first place? But also, you're probably thinking, are they playing Five Color Niv? Are they playing
Playing spirits.
Banned Spirits? Are they playing some kind of mid-range strategy? And then boom, you hit them with a Risk Factor.
So,
So,
have you guys seen this list? Have you seen what they have four of in the sideboard of?
Yeah,
gosh, what now?
Peak Eruption.
Destroy target mountain. Peak Eruption deals three damage to the lands controller to three mana sorcery. Is this for like the red, mirror matchup or something?
Is this for fires?
Maybe.
It could be for like, I mean, it'd also be for like five color Niv, right? Because pretty much all their lands are like tri lands, which will have like there'll be a lot of mountains to hit there. I mean, it's an interesting card for sure. Like, basically,
Well, and on
like.
top of that, I'm thinking Chained to the Rocks out of the fires deck if they're really trying to target against that.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting choice, and I don't hate it. I'm not convinced on Giganta and 20 lands. But maybe like, because sometimes I think about like, this sounds, it might sound crazy as well, but like, the issue I have playing like, Only issue I have playing companions now is it's a very a huge giveaway as to what strategy you're playing, especially if it's Yorion. It's like you're going to keep very similar hands for all the Yorion decks, or you're going to mulligan like removal, like creature removal heavy hands. But like the Gigantha is a very big gotcha, like in this strategy, and it's still playable, and it eventually works out when your opponents are not expecting like the rest of your deck to be all red. I don't really know what to make of it. I mean,
So, two more things I wanted to ask you guys about. How do you guys feel about Direfleet Daredevil in the sideboard and Magma Spray?
I mean, he can do what he wants. I don't know. Those seem like reasonable options. I don't think there's anything bad there. If I see Magma Spray, I'm probably thinking that he's worried about
Bro.
Mono Black, which we haven't been seeing a lot of. Yeah, I suppose it hits Uro, but I don't love, spending a card as mono red just to exile an Uro. That doesn't seem like a great trade. And exiling it and nothing else.
I think I'm not a massive fan of the sideboard, to be honest. Like, why on earth this player is not playing four Roiling Vortex? Did he not have the cards?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, I think like Roiling Vortex is an auto include as a four of, and I think you want to have some number of Soul Guide Lanterns, because I think the Upsol spells matchup is pretty miserable. If you watch the mock, you'd see like it's pretty hard to win. Like Sylvan Caryatid, such a good foil to your plans. And you normally win a turn faster than Red can kill you. So
I was gonna say, I think this is just a budget deck. I think they just said, haha, I'm gonna win with a deck that's, sub $50. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, there's nothing really pricey in this list. I mean, fair play to them. They took it down, but yeah, there's definitely questionable cards in this deck. I mean, yeah, it's the sideboard predominantly. Like, I can understand a lot of the main 60 card choices, but like the sideboard, yeah, I wouldn't play four copies of Peak Eruption. To be honest, I'd replace him with Roiling Vortex, and I would not a massive fan of Magma Spray. Direfleet Daredevil is perfectly reasonable. Fry, I'm not sure of either. But yeah, apart from that,
I mean,
it's
I
really
guessing,
interesting.
I mean, it's only 70 people here, and it doesn't give you I mean, I'm guessing this is about 6 rounds in a top eight.
Yeah.
So, it maybe wouldn't really have the How can I say? I don't know if it would be able to go the distance in 8 rounds, but I think it'd be fine for a smaller 6-round tournament like this. He kind of knows that, people like to play control in mid range, so I could understand why he chose some of those cards. Anything
Yeah.
else you guys want to talk about from this tournament, or should we move on to the bigger one?
Yeah, let's move on to something a little bigger. So, another Hallelujah. I never pronounced that quite the right way.
Hallelujah.
I know they're kind of memeing with it. Yeah, Hallelujah. So, the 14th, they had 120 people. I'm going to just quick run through the top 8 again
Do you want
here.
to do
So,
the top
Lotus.
16 or the top 8?
Oh, sure. Here, I'll go top 16 here. I should have kind of aggregated this. Let me see. So, first place, Lotus combo. Second place is a red. Is it mono red again?
It says Prowess Aggro.
Looks like another mono
Yeah.
red.
See that, what's up with Japan? Like, it's the same deck, and they have like seven different names for it.
So next up is a Sultai Reclamation. Another burn. Another red. So here's a red green aggro. That's slightly different. We've got Upsal Spells, Omnath, five color Niv, Spirits. Upsal Spells, Lotus Combo, couple more Reclamation, another Spirits, another blue-black control. That's cool. Oh, that's Jeremy Dazani. We've had him on the show before.
No, we didn't have him. We tried to get him on.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, we tried to get him on the show before? I thought we
Oh.
had him on. I thought we recorded something with him.
Night.
I swear we. All right, and then a red-green aggro. So a couple red-green aggro. That's different from what we've seen. We're seeing the Upsal Spells pop up here, which I think mirrors what we were starting to see by online at that point. And then there's one blue-black control that I'll definitely want to call out. Just because we've seen some Esper, we have seen the blue black doing okay. This is a nice top 16 for us. That's not bad.
I wanted to point out some of the cards in the mono red deck. that I thought were kind of interesting. So the person that came in second place was playing four Collective Defiance in their spells.
Okay.
I've always been a fan of this card, to be honest. So it's the 3-mana red spell with Escalate. You can either choose to do 4 damage to a creature, 3 damage to a player or planeswalker, or discard. Someone discards their hand and then draws that many new cards. It's really efficient, I think. But what do you guys think? Do you like it or do you not like it?
I always hated it when my opponents played it against me when I was playing Inverter. That's probably because I was playing Inverter and I just lost on the spot.
It discards your hand, right? It disrupts combo really well.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same way I felt about Gideon of the Trials. Like, I felt like the card was good enough on its own, but without a major reason for it to... I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of like Gideon of the Trials, where it was like good enough on its own, but because it had a specific purpose in disrupting combos or disrupting Inverter, it made it. It went from like being good card fringe play to like mainstay play. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Collective Defiance, it's the same spot. The fact that it's sorcery speed is like really backbreaking for it, because it just a lot of the ways that the burn decks operate and do well is because especially against control decks, it forces your opponents to like guessing games with what's the best spell to counter at instant speed. Mm. You're tapping out for this at sorcery speed. It's quite an easy sensor, an easy sinister sabotage or whatever. Again, I think the card's fine. I wouldn't play it myself, but I understand the thought process, because it's, as you said, it's very efficient and it can make use of redundant cards in hand. I really love Womack Courier. I'm surprised it's seen so little play.
Yeah.
I love the idea of playing that card again. It was horrendous facing that down in Standard. I think it's good. I like Sideboard. It's a lot cleaner than the other red deck. Yeah. Four Goblin Chain Whirler. Good card. Broiling Vortex. Draft Digger's Cage. Makes sense. Dampen Sphere. Also makes sense. Chandra. Yeah, just a good anti-control card. The list looks nice. But I question the Collected Defiance, but I can understand it.
Yeah. Alright, so what else from this top 16 list sticks out with you guys? Should we talk about the red-green aggro, maybe?
Yeah, we can look at it. It seems... I mean, it's got main deck Chandra, which is interesting. Most of the cards are relatively stock, what you'd expect in the grill decks, where it's like you're playing a bunch of like mana dorks and a bunch of, you know, must answer payoffs, like the Legion Warboss, Rabble Masters, and Reckless Bushwhackers. You also got a couple of Questing Beasts, couple of Glorybringer. The sideboard is relatively stock, I guess. Like, it's a lot of cards you'd expect the deck to play. There's nothing too surprising in the list, in my opinion.
It's a very clean deck, I think.
Yeah, I like it. Gruul for a while now has just had this, what makes Gruul attractive is it can have unbeatable explosiveness in the draws. Like, you play turn one elf into turn two goblin into turn three Questing Beasts.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun beating that. Like,
Burning Tree Bushwhacker. For like 12 damage.
Yeah, the deck has a lot of, you know, explosive draws.
Uh-huh.
When you see your opponents mulligan into 5 fast, it's normally a sign that they're on something like that, where, you know, it's quality over quantity with the deck. Because I think the deck, if you don't play the turn 1 elf, it has a very hard time of winning games, because your creatures are just, on curve, they're just reasonable. But a turn faster and they're extremely powerful.
Yeah.
That's doesn't surprise me that Gruul is occasionally showing up in the top 8 of events. It's just a strong strategy, and if you get the luck, if you're on the good side of variance with the draws, then yeah, you'll do well in a tournament with Gruul for sure.
I need to get some Ember Cleaves. I don't have any. Definitely something I want before we go back to paper magic.
I hate Ember Cleave with a passion. I think you and I are on opposite sides of the magic spectrum. You know, I'm blue is my number one color, and it's probably your last color of choice. Yeah.
See, we have all types of people on here. Blue players and red players.
I thought you were going to say blue players and good players. Yeah, there we go. Something like that.
I know.
No, you went kind. You weren't too rough on anybody. Okay. See, I just play everything, so I don't have a...
All right. Anything else you want to talk about, Kevin?
Well, you know, just want to one more time call out the Oops All Spells. I know we've talked about this. I know also, I think it's Japan that's really kind of started this, is weird numbers of cards in their decks.
Like one or two.
Okay, so yeah, one of these here, no, as in this, hang on, what is this, fifth place? So, or one, two,
77 cards,
so
yeah.
So it's a top eight, yeah, so he's got 77 main deck.
Yeah,
we've seen like 64 main deck, we've seen like 68 main decks, a few weird options. I don't know if that's completely kind of just people, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. I'm not, messing it with seems people. To work. I'm not intelligent enough to understand the numbers.
It's one of these things that you've seen before with, I guess, toolbox decks, where when you're searching through your whole deck for something specific, playing more cards might be okay because A, you're less likely to naturally draw them, and B, you know, you're going to go through your whole deck to find them anyways, so it gives you more options. This is deck kind of the similar, is that once you find one of your payoff cards, your whole deck goes into your library. So if you've already got, you know, four Undercity Informer, four Balustrade Spy, and usually I think Neoform is the third way they have to find them. This one even has Eldritch Evolution as well, so 16 ways to find it. Maybe that makes it reasonable to run a few more cards, and then you're less likely to, you know, like naturally draw something that you're going to want to flip over when you win the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've all seen how this deck's evolved. You know, like, it started off with people playing 60 card decks and then just playing general like hand disruption and just playing all the spells, and then people started saying like, oh, why don't we play Mana Dorks? Oh, why don't we play an unkillable Mana Dork? Let's play Sylvan Caryatid. Boom, rolled the deck. And that's what basically happened. And then people have just been trying to work out the numbers ever since. I think this deck is so good. It's kind of like so annoying because I thought Lotus was going to be the only deck that, you know, if you didn't respect, it would eventually come out of the depths. Now we have two decks like that again, and this is definitely one of them. You need to always be aware of this deck, because the moment you stop respecting it, you're just going to get destroyed by it. I mean, I'm tempted to play the deck because I just want to get through leagues fast. This deck just wins games in turn four, turn three, like, super fast. And I think the issue I have with the deck is I need someone to show me how to show me a sideboard guide, because I don't really know how to work it out from looking at it just now.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to discuss this with my team and, you know, come to a consensus of how to sideboard for each given matchup, but...
So if you've written up a sideboard guide for this deck, tweet it out at HarryMTG.
Yeah, that'd be great. Appreciate it. Oops All Spells is such a... I hate playing against it, but I have to respect it. It's such a sweet deck.
Well, see, that's the way I feel about Jeskai Fires.
Yeah, I mean, Jeskai Fires to me, like, I feel like... Obviously, it can be miserable when they transmogrify on turn four and you can't answer it and you're like, oops, oh well. But I definitely think the decks... In terms of Pioneer power level, it's not like what it was in Standard, where it was just like ridiculous. I definitely think the decks balanced enough for the format to be a mainstay. I don't think it's going anywhere.
That's kind of just what I'm saying, is that, you know, it seems like it's not like it's unfair, but when I play against it, it always has the best possible hand, and when I test it, you know, by playing it, you know, it's middling. It doesn't seem to do very much. So
yeah, I just think someone needs to try and incorporate like Mana Dorks into the deck, or like Boreal Grazer to just like I just think a Boreal Grazer with like, well, can't play Matadors because then it doesn't work. But
yeah,
so never mind. Don't listen to that.
It's well, if you don't have token, so if you like only have one drops or something, then it could work. You wouldn't be able to use tokens then to transmogrify, but you could transmogrify if you had Dorks and Arboreal Grazer.
Yeah, I think that's almost certainly just going to make it less effective because you're basically you basically can't use your Omen of the Suns and stuff, but transmogrifying a turn faster would be really sweet. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a way to do that for it to be effective. Also going into four colors.
Yeah, and then you're playing green-blue and you can't play Uro, so what are you doing?
Hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. These are, you can tell these are like 1 a.m. thoughts for me. so.
Did you
want
to... All right, let's...
I was going to say, did you want to talk about the blue-black control deck by Designy?
Sure, I mean... I've played quite a lot of this deck before Sultai Reclamation came into the format. It's just a very good, it's one of these decks that it plays out so much better than it looks, because I remember Gillian Waffletapa played this list, a similar list, and I was like, so your win cons are Shark Typhoon, Torrential Gear Hulk, and you're trying to just counter everything. And then I was thinking, like, that just seems so fragile. Like, there's so many ways that can just get, like, you just die to Teferi Hero, Teferi Time Raveler. But when I played the deck, I was like, wow, this actually is a lot better. It does its job very well. This list is very similar to the list that I played I think I top 8ed a challenge with blue-black, and I was actually playing four copies of Hieroglyphic Illumination instead of Opt. I personally really don't like, I really dislike Opt. I think it's, for me personally, it doesn't do what I want it to do. Like, I think like Serum Visions is the level of cantrip I want to be playing at times. And it, for me, I think Serum Visions would be a lot better in this format. But yeah, like, the deck's just traditional control. Very few win cons, load the counter spells, card advantage. Yeah, what's not digs, to love?
Digs through stuff really quickly. There's a lot of cantrips.
That's why I liked, see when we were talking about Sultai Reclamation, that's why I liked the version that had three Uro to dig for time. One of the main issues I've had with Sultai Reclamation is sometimes you just see the wrong half of your deck for too long and you just lose. Whereas like Dig for Time is also one of the best cards for mitigating that, and find a way to balance the two, having both Uro and Dig for Time in my deck, I would think that would be a really good plan to have.
Mm-hmm. All right, why don't we move on to our next tournament that we wanted to cover here? Yep. So what did we have else on our list?
The Pioneer Champs from 11-15, so also same weekend last week.
Great, yeah. So last weekend as well. So I'm going to run through. We've got a top eight here. This was a Moto tournament. Burn in first place, Burn in second place. So this is exactly what I was talking about. I was like, yeah, it doesn't seem like Burn's showing up, and then it takes first and second place for me. So definitely a funny one to hear. So here we've got two Jeskai Fires. We've got two Reclamation. We've got two Niv-Mizzet. So perfectly four decks represented in our top eight. That's certainly interesting.
Yeah, it seems to be the kind of pattern of the format. Like, you have a bunch of Uro, you have a bunch of like Uro based decks. You have like Jeskai Luka, which has been picking up in the past couple of weeks, and we're seeing multiples in the top eight. I'm friends with the winner on Twitter. I talked to a fair amount, and I congratulated him. But the fact that Burn took first and second place kind of says it all. Really, like the. It's basically one of, it's kind of like mono green in the sense that if you can get fortunate with some of your openers, you have to get quite fortunate to top these events anyway. Like, that's magic. There's variance in the game, but I feel like Burn has the opportunity to have like the best possible draws at a tournament, and it doesn't surprise me that it's done well. It's put up numbers at the top end of the top eight again. I do think the deck is, if not the best deck, as I said before, definitely like one of the top three, and it probably is the best deck in the format, as much as it pains me to say that. then you've got the rest of the format. This is like the meat and tails of the format. A lot of like mid-range and control-based strategies, like five color nav. You see Claudio here, it doesn't surprise me.
Claudio, fifth place. Nice.
I mean, don't flay his ego more than it needs to be. You know, he thinks he's better than he is. I'm only joking, Claudio.
No, we're just trying to say, you know, come on to our show and you're going to do top eight in a big tournament. Yeah. That's how it works.
Exactly. I know, I expect to top eight my tournaments this weekend then. we're seeing a pattern. Like, there's a lot of like very low to the ground burn strategies, and then you've got the kind of reclamation based strategies seem to be taking one or two spots in most of these tournaments as well, which doesn't surprise me, because Wilderness Reclamation is an extremely powerful card, and you know, figuring out what's better between like four color Teemer Sultai will probably be an ongoing process, but it seems like a lot of players are enjoying the Sultai variant at the moment with some success. The list that came in third or fourth is also kind of similar to the one I played in the prelim, the one I went 5-0 with, except they put they've probably taken my teammate Ailey Milan's strategy by playing Lochmere Serpent over. I tried out Ugin because I noticed more Jeskai decks, Jeskai Fires, and Ugin's like one of the best cards to play against like Sorcery Speed, maybe mid-range strategies, because it just resets the board. I think, you know, the top decks in the format are all represented in this top eight, barring Oops All Spells, and I think that's about it.
All right, well, we've got one more tournament that we really wanted to touch on before we finish up here, and that's the Mox. So this wasn't all Pioneer, but they did have a Pioneer section of it, so we were going to look at the lists that did well in the Pioneer portion of it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I don't know if that's what you guys are looking at, but I've got a list of like all the 9-plus point deck lists. I've got a 4-color Omnath, I've got a Red-White Burn, Green Devotion, I've got a Winota, an Orzhov Auras, 2 Sultai midrange, and 2 Oops All Spells.
Yes, I've got very similar. I think I'm on the Magic
website.
Website, yeah.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, burning Mono Green Devotion again, as I said, it's got you know, it can have the most powerful possible opening hands in the format, some of the most powerful openers. So it doesn't surprise me that these decks have been chosen by these top level players. Winota is an interesting one. I think that's, I don't know if they decided that, kind of like Gru, Winota can have some really broken draws. So I don't know if they decided, you know, the thought process may have been, you know, I don't really play that much Pioneer, so I'm just going to go for a deck that's relatively intuitive and pretty much fishing with this strategy, and hoping that will be enough to get me across the line. I think it's reasonable. I think it's probably one of the best kind of approaches to formats that you're not familiar with, instead of trying to play reactive decks. Burn, you know, Oliver Stewie playing Burn, doesn't surprise me. Like, the deck is probably the best deck in the format, so it doesn't surprise me that a lot of these players have chosen to use that strategy. And I think, again, Burn is relatively similar across all different types of formats. You know, it's quite straightforward.
I was going to say, Amitz was talking about, you know, it's probably better to be proactive than reactive in this current format, or in this current metagame. Would you say that's like why, you know, Burn is kind of doing so well, and, you know, why we saw an uptick of like those green red, you know, those Gruul decks and stuff like that?
I think, yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, decks like Sultai Reclamation, there is control decks that are viable in the format, but I think overall, you know, Pioneer, especially with the inclusion of Roiland Vortex, is kind of been more aggressive than controlling recently. Especially, I just think Burn is just so powerful, and it doesn't surprise me. And I think Amit is right. I'm still going to stubbornly play control decks, because that's just what I do. But I'm aware that, I'm making life a bit harder for myself now than maybe before Zendikar came out.
Is there anything else we want to talk about, you think, or?
Nothing else huge for me. Yeah, I think that those I think that last of the most recent mocks, in some ways was almost the most diverse. We saw a little bit of what did so well at each of those tournaments, because we had the Oops All Spells represented that we saw at one. The Winota is kind of similar to the red green we only saw in one tournament. This one had an Urza of Auras, which we had otherwise seen kind of drop off. That I might want to mention is just, I feel like the deck's still around, if I'm not wrong. But it didn't place in really any of these lists that we talked about other than this one mox result. And we also didn't see any mono black decks in any of these tournaments we've been looking at. So that seems to be the deck that's been taking the biggest beating from all of these, blue X mid-range control-y decks, and burn being the whole meta.
Yeah, I think mono black, the only people I see playing mono black is Tiago Saporito and his partner. It's just because they love the deck. I wouldn't recommend playing the deck because I feel like it just has a horrible burn matchup. Like you're trying to use your life total as a resource with like Murderous Riders and Castle Lothwain to generate, card advantage, and you just
And
don't have that
Scrapheap
option.
Scavenger, yeah.
Exactly. You just don't have that option, and you just can't race burn effectively most of the time. And then, more often than not, you're probably gonna get beat by Uro as well, because I mean, game one, you don't have any effective answers for it, and then post board, you have Soul Guide Lanterns, but yeah, I don't think it's a great format for mono black at the moment. I believe we're probably going to discuss, where the meta goes from here, and then if we think the format's in a healthy place or not.
Yeah, so you want to move right into that then? Like, do you want to start? Maybe let's start with healthy or not healthy, and then talk about where it goes from here. So,
Yeah,
in
sure.
your opinion, is the format in a good place right now? Yes or no?
Put it this way, if I'm being honest, I've not been enjoying playing Pioneer as much. It still has this issue where I just don't feel like the colors are balanced as such. It kind of feels like standard in that sense, where I'm just like, I feel like I want more than just black to have like good removal spells. And I was talking to my teammates about this recently, and I would really like if Wizards kind of took the same approach they did to Historic and introduced some cards from older formats that they believe would be that would improve the formats. Like I really think the format's needing cards like Path to Exile. It's needing just like
Or,
efficient removal.
I mean, I want Helix. Lightning Helix.
yeah, but that doesn't even answer some of the problems that Red has. It would be nice if Red could answer things like Planeswalkers or Uro, occasionally at the least. And yeah, I definitely agree, White having some better removal.
I
I
think
mean, Blue, you can't really have quite removal. Maybe a little bit stronger of a counter spell that's for a more aggressive deck. Right now we've got some reasonable ones for mid-range and control strategies, but something a little bit more tempo.
Personally, I just want basically some of the old Evergreen cards that accept Lightning Bolt. Like I really want like Path to Exile. I really want Mana Leak. I really want Damnation. I just feel like there's not a lot of room to innovate in the format. You're kind of constricted to, like I said before, I would really like Triomes of the
Other
Shard.
cards, yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like it just restricts your deck building capabilities. Like anytime I've tried to play a three color deck that's not within the cans colors, it's just the mana base has been so inconsistent. And I just my only worry is how much do Wizards actually care about the format, because Historic's doing well in Arena, and I know they've said that they intend to bring Pioneer to Arena, but we don't know if that's definitely going to happen. They might just decide that Historic's in a good place and they don't want to change it. Yeah, I think to really shake up the format and make it, it's relatively healthy as in the variety of decks, but in my opinion, just having variety of decks doesn't mean a format's healthy. It still needs room to grow, and it needs like you want to see change, and you want to feel like
I think I think it's the land, like you said, not having the triomes and stuff like that. You know, if this is going to be a format where you're not going to have fetch lands to be able to fix your mana, you need to have all your options available. You need to have all the pain lands. You need to have all the triomes. You need to have all of those, you know, cycle lands, for example, if you want to build more of a control deck. So we definitely need to get all those.
Yeah, you want all the fast lands as well.
Yep.
All the fast lands. I want to see triomes in every color,
mm-hmm.
every possible like three color card.
I think and that would just open up so many more strategies. You'd be able to do so much more, and it's like it's not so much. Maybe there are answers, but you know, right now we can't build a deck with that card because we don't have a good mana base, for example.
Yeah, like one card I really want to like play in a controlled strategy would be like Nicol Bolas, Dragon God. Like I'd really love to play like a Grixis style strategy, and it's just impossible. Given the mana base and stuff like that, and the demands that card has on your mana base. Yeah. And I also think like
Grixis Trium would be good.
Yeah, and Esper Trium and Bant Trium and stuff like that, because like Bant Trium would maybe allow decks like Bant Company to flourish and stuff like that. I just really hope I just think waiting on new sets to come out, there's only so much that can do. I feel like if they want Pioneer to really diversify into like deck building opportunities, then they need to improve the mana base, and in my opinion they need to bring out more
supplemental sets. I mean, Modern had like Modern Masters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They had Modern Horizons. You know, Legacy always gets stuff from pretty much every EDH set, or even what was the other one? Conspiracy. You could play that stuff in Legacy, and it's like, what does Modern or so what does Pioneer get? Pioneer only gets stuff from Standard.
Yeah, and I think that's the running joke with Pioneer. It's like, oh, it's all the powerful Standard decks. That's all it is. And obviously it's not, but I feel like for Pioneer to really own its own identity, it needs to have the opportunity to have, it really needs to, these like powerful Standard decks to not be that relevant in Pioneer. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense, because I feel like Wilderness Reclamation, Jeskai Luka, and all that, they all like made waves in Standard, and then it was only a matter of time before they started making an impact in Pioneer. I really wish it was like that wasn't the case. I really wish it was like, oh, that deck's not relevant to Pioneer, because it's not strong enough,
it's not good enough, or
there's just good enough like alternative deck to play. And
I
think, like as I said, I don't think the format's unhealthy, but I'm playing it less, and that, you know,
it's less rewarding than it was before.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, like, I think, like, I still, obviously, don't get me wrong, still really enjoy the format. Like, I'll be playing it a lot still.
It could be better.
I'd like to see. Yeah, I think it definitely could be better. I think, having the power creep in creatures and not having the power creep, not having powerful spells to match those creatures is an issue to me. I think that, as I said, I think like if you're if we're playing creatures as powerful as Uro, Omnath, and Niv-Mizzet, and having really efficient threats and like all the prowess based wizards and the burn spells, then I kind of want to see reaction on the other side to having, like, as I said, like Wraths in more than one color that are relevant and efficient, semi-efficient removal spells. Even cards like Oust, I think, would be, welcome change.
Hmm.
I wouldn't mind, like, a Delver-style strategy. Like, I think Rogues is kind of like that, but it's not powerful enough for Pioneer, in my opinion. Yeah. So, like, something that I don't think bringing Delver Secrets into Pioneer necessarily be good. I don't know. Maybe it would be. I don't know. There's a lot of possibilities that could happen, but it'd be nice to see Wizards take a similar approach as they did to Historic.
With the supplements.
Some good tempo options. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, do you want to weigh in on the health, Kevin? Any?
No, you know, I think that's reasonable. I'm kind of in the same place. Like, I wish that there was a little bit more place for innovation. I think I've seen more people playing it, you know, kind of beginning of this season than are right this second. But it is also, you know, kind of mid-season. There just tends to be a slump around Christmas time. I don't think that's too unusual. Hopefully we'll see things pick up, and then we'll see some new sets. Probably, you know, a month from now we'll be looking at some new cards, I think.
So, where does the metagame go from here, Martin? So,
yeah, like let's go pretty quick on this, but just yeah, kind of as our last topic, you know, chance to call your shot. We've given some analysis now at where it looks like the format has gone. You know, black is kind of dropping out. We're seeing less of the auras, a lot of burn. You know, all the decks we just talked about. Yeah, a fair amount of burn and a lot of, you know,
burn and
very grindy mid rangey decks. What is the what is the undiscovered gem that's going to pop up in this meta where it's so polarizing?
Or how will people react to this meta?
You don't have to have an answer, but if you've got something that's, you know, that you're like, hey, you know, blank deck is, it's hiding under the radar, but if these are the only two decks in the format, it's going to be making a killing.
Yeah, it's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It is really tough to answer. Like, I personally think that, personally think that, like, okay, so you've got burn that's doing really well, you've got a lot of these kind of, you know, you've got Jeskai Lucca, five color Niv, reclamation style strategies that are doing well. It's just trying to figure out what's, you know, you don't have to be good against all of them, but what's good against, like, so the three of those strategies, and maybe orders will pick up. I have been seeing it being played, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it picked up. Vampires as well. As I said, like, Amita's done well with it. Maybe that will start putting up one or two copies in the top eight if Burn gets too popular to keep it in check. I think more people will eventually continue to develop the Absolve Spells deck. I'd be very surprised if that didn't stop being innovated. I think that's a work in progress, and I think eventually we'll see. Especially, what's the new set called? Kaldheim or something?
Kaldheim, yeah.
Kaldheim, yeah. I'd be very surprised if that deck doesn't gain anything from that new set or doesn't develop in some way or another. I mean, I would love to see, like, Doomfortold Strategy come back. Maybe a Doomfortold Strategy could be good. I'm not sure. I've seen Blue-White Devotion come back without the Ballista combo. I've seen a few 5-0s with that. Maybe that's good enough. Yeah, it's hard. Mono Green Devotion's coming back, and it's hard. Like, I honestly think, like, Team of Reclamation could be an okay choice as well. It does surprisingly well against aggro decks with access to Blast Zone and Anger of the Gods, and Mansion Explosion tends to go over the top of most strategies, so who knows? It is a tough one to work out, and I think this is probably the least solved. I said it was solved earlier in the sense that, like, the big decks are, you know, known quantities, but it is really tough to work out what's the best strategy and what's the best counter strategy. As I said, I personally think it's probably Burn at the moment, but, you know, Burn is, you know, it's not invincible. If you want to target Burn, you can. And, you know, and then it's working out what decks are good against the decks that are targeting Burn. So what's good against Vampires? I guess strategies like Jeskai Lucca, and that's the reason why they've probably shown up in popularity. So yeah, it's hard, but I wouldn't be surprised if it does kind of become more mid-range dominated again with decks like 5-color Niv.
I mean, my advice to everybody would be, you know, we have like a month until the new set comes out. Just try to brew and enjoy.
More than that, I think.
Yeah,
almost 2 months.
Yeah, if we have 2 months, I mean, I think there'll be some innovation. I don't think we're going to see too many new decks like do very well, but I think this is a time to kind of, like I said, have fun, brew some of your cards, you know, brew around some cards you've always, you know, enjoyed playing with, and, you know, just try to. I mean, Emmett talked about this in the other podcast. You know, just try to take it to the highest level you can. I think that'll be very.
And if you guys do figure out what you think the broken deck of the format is, go ahead out and tweet us. Or if you'd like to find out, you know, as soon as the new deck comes out, we'll show you a tweet whatever is winning the meta. So you guys can follow us at I'm at MTG Pioneer on Twitter. Ryan, you can find yourself.
You can find me at Yoshwenky on Twitter, which is Yoschwenky. And Martin.
And Martin with our meta moment coming from.
You can find me posting about my latest lists and thoughts in the format and other formats as well at Martin Porter 13. So Martin Porter 13 on Twitter.
And of course, if you have any other shout outs you want to give, Martin, if you want to shout out to Jenny again.
Yep, shout out to Jenny. Shout out to Team TAC for helping me out in the recent month. We're looking to, you know, develop each other, especially with one of our members competing in the 2020 MOX finals. Nice. That's going to be interesting. Yeah, shout out to Nickstrad, as he's known on Twitter. We're looking forward to hopefully giving him some help in these big tournaments. He's also competing in the Mythic Championship as well. So, yeah, it'll be interesting times ahead.
All right, that's going to bring us to the end of our show, though, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Martin, for joining us. We always appreciate the insights you're able to give. Ryan, hope you have a good morning. Mm-hmm. You have a great night. And for everyone listening, a good whatever time of the day it is. So one more time, we are the First Pioneers Podcast. We look forward to being your source for what's new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.